It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM, WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegebrink.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
There is nothing worse for your case than to have your attorney hear something embarrassing or bad about you first in the courtroom in front of the judge and have no opportunity to discuss it fully with you or to find out other facts that may make it less of an important thing or less shocking to the judge.
Palma Pastilnik, attorney with Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in Charlottesville, talks about how to work well with your lawyer and what you need to know to be the best possible client. And this week's question and answer session reveals radical, but legal, ways to get out of a payday loan. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 40, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. The recently ended Virginia General Assembly session expanded wage garnishment protection for parents who live with their minor children. Under current law, wages legally can be garnished if gross pay minus required tax withholdings is more than $262 per week. Under the new law, when a parent supports a dependent minor child or children living with him or her, additional wages can be protected. These additional protected amounts are $34 per week for one child, $52 per week for two children, and $66 per week for three or more children. The additional wage exemption is available only if household gross income is no more than $1,750 per month. To claim this garnishment protection, the parent must provide an affidavit and two items of proof showing he or she is entitled to this additional wage exemption. The new law takes effect July 1, 2009. In other news, payday lender Check and Go now can be considered Check and Gone. Their 68 outlets in Virginia are closing after the company determined Virginia is not as lax as it used to be. Although this will take a toll on people working at Check and Go, it will be a net economic gain for Virginia. According to a report by the Center for Responsible Lending, for every payday lending staff position, 179 Virginians are caught in the cycle of high-cost payday loan debt. The earnings Check and Go is stripping from their borrowers now will go to the local economy to purchase goods and services from legitimate businesses. The Virginia Poverty Law Center advises borrowers to go into Check and Go stores before the date their repayment is due and insist on an extended payment plan. Call the payday loan hotline at the Virginia Partnership to encourage responsible lending. Toll free at 1-866-830-4551 if you have questions or need advice or assistance on escaping any payday loan debt trap. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegebrink. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is venue. Venue in a debt case is one of three different places where you should be sued: the county or city where you now live, or where you took on the debt, or where you agreed in writing you could be sued. However, under Virginia law, you can be sued anywhere in the state, even if you don't live there and had no dealings there. If the debt lawsuit is heard and judgment granted far away, any legal action to collect the judgment also will be done far away. To avoid this, you should ask the court to move or transfer the lawsuit to a venue closer to where you live. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and venue is this week's legal term of the week.
It's time for the weekly question and answer session. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Carolyn, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Carolyn. What question do you have for us?
I would like to know the new payday lending laws.
The new payday lending law allows you to have an extended payment period if you can't repay the loan on time. It also extends the payment period. Under the new law, the payment period has to be double your pay period. So if you get paid every week, then the loan has to be 2 weeks. If you get paid every 2 weeks, the length of the loan has to be 4 weeks. If you get paid monthly, like Social Security or SSI, the length of the loan has to be 2 months. In addition, you can only have one payday loan at a time, and there's a big database that all of the payday lenders have to hook into, and they have to check that before they can give you a loan to make sure you don't have an outstanding loan. Lastly, under the new payday lending law, they can't make you a loan the same day you pay off the old one. You have to wait at least 24 hours before you can get another payday loan. Having said all of that, these reforms are somewhat helpful in breaking what we call the debt trap of a payday loan, but they're still a bad idea. The interest rate on these payday loans used to be 391% per year for a two-week loan and double that for a one-week loan. The current interest rates are a little bit lower, and by a little bit lower, I mean maybe 370% or 380%. It's still outrageously high. You can do a whole lot better, whether it's a small loan act from a consumer finance agency or whether it is simply getting a personal loan from a friend, neighbor, relative, church, charity, an advance on pay from your employer. There are so many other things that you can do that are a whole lot better than a payday loan, and we strongly, strongly discourage people from doing that. I believe you had a follow-up question for me.
What happens when you have a loan and then you lose your job and you try to, how do you pay it back?
Well, you may not be able to pay it back. And what we advise people who are trapped in a payday loan is this, and this is perfectly legal. We advise people to put a stop payment on the check to the payday lender. You also can make sure that all of your other checks are paid, except for the one to the payday lender, and close the account. Both of those things I just mentioned are perfectly legal. They are not against the law. You will not be arrested or jailed or charged for doing either of those things. And the worst that the payday lender can do, I mean the absolute worst they can do, is they can file a lawsuit against you for the amount of the check, the loan, and get a judgment against you for that amount, which will carry interest at the rate of 6% per year, which frankly is a whole lot better than continuing to roll the loan over month after month or 2 weeks after 2 weeks and continuing to rack up interest at 370 or 380% per year. So again, we strongly advise people who are in a situation where they simply can't pay back a payday loan, stop payment on that payday loan check, or make sure all of your other checks on the account is paid, close that account, do your banking elsewhere. Is that helpful to you, ma'am?
Yes, it is. Very helpful. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We're here at the Charlottesville office of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we're talking with Palma Pastelnik, and our topic today is how to work well with your attorney. What do you mean by that?
Sometimes in legal issues, whether it has to do with landlord-tenant or child custody or any of the things that people can get into a legal dispute about, there are going to be things that could be embarrassing that could come out, whether it's that your kitchen's not as clean as you'd like it to be, or you had a relationship that, you know, maybe on one of your dates you took your child and then decided you wanted to break up. There can be things that you think maybe your behavior was foolish or it's not what you would have liked it to have been, but if your attorney doesn't know about it, your attorney cannot help to get over that hurdle and make that behavior have less of an impact in your legal dispute.
So I guess it's best that your attorney learn about it from you first than from the other side or in court or something of that nature.
There is nothing worse for your case than to have your attorney hear something embarrassing or bad about you first in the courtroom in front of the judge and have no opportunity to discuss it fully with you or to find out other facts that may make it less of an important thing or less shocking to the judge.
Amen to that. Well, the next several points were about record keeping and papers and being organized. Could you elaborate on that?
Everything that's important in your life, whether it's your birth certificate or your lease or the deed to your house or your car insurance policy or your homeowner's or renter's insurance policy, all of those records need to be kept in a safe place, and you need to know where they are because all of those records can have legal effect at some point in your life. And so when you come to legal aid with a problem, the papers that are involved in your case, we need to see because the terms of them may affect how much we can do for you, either in a good way or a bad way. And you and we need to know what those are. For example, if you signed a lease and made sure when you signed it that there was a clause that said if you wanted to get a pet, if you made a pet deposit, you could have a pet in your apartment, and you sent a check to your landlord that was labeled pet deposit and you brought a puppy home, if your landlord then comes back and says, I've heard you've got a puppy in your house. Your lease prohibits that. You need to get rid of the puppy right now or I'm going to evict you, and I'm also going to charge you $25 a day until you and the puppy are gone. If you have your lease that you and they signed that shows that you were allowed to have a puppy, then the dispute is gone.
Good point. Your next issue was stay calm. I imagine that's even more important in a family law case, but I imagine it's important in any case.
Tempers can flare in any legal dispute, in any personal dispute, and that's not productive. When you lose your calm, your attorney loses the ability to get effective information from you, and it's much more difficult to get through that to get to a good solution. If you can stay calm, then much more good work and good product can come out of it.
Which is a great segue into the next point that you raised, which was listening.
Without effective communication, nothing good can happen. You need to listen very, very, very carefully to what your attorney says, because your attorney will be listening very, very, very carefully to what you say. Your consistency, your ability to bring forth the facts of your situation are crucial to your attorney's effectiveness in being able to help solve your problem. So you need to be listening to what your attorney is saying about what the different facets of your problem are legally and how we can strategize to maximize your opportunities for success, and understand that your attorney is listening very, very closely to what you're saying in order to be able to understand exactly what information your attorney has to work with.
Now, you mentioned focusing in particular. I assume you're mentioning focusing on the legal problem as opposed to perhaps other things that the client wants to talk about that may be important to that client, may be very important to that client, but simply don't have any bearing on the legal problem.
In so many disputes, there can be other things that are much more emotionally upsetting to you, and they have merit and they have validity, but focusing on those things instead of the issue at hand as your attorney has framed it for you distract your energies and your attorney's ability to effectively deal with what is your legal problem. So if, for example, the level of traffic on your street bothers you endlessly and it's noisy and you can't stand it, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the fact that your landlord isn't addressing the fact that your toilet doesn't work properly.
And I imagine there's a time issue too. I mean, certainly lawyers have limited time to deal with legal problems, and courts have even less time to deal with legal problems. How does that play into this focusing issue?
Focusing in court is essential because judges have a docket that they must keep to. They need to run. And if they lose patience with you, they stop seeing you in a favorable light and you are reducing your own chances for success because they see you as a problem that they have to deal with instead of somebody that they can help.
Focusing is a good thing to do, but the very next point you made is sort of expands on that, which is answer the question fully. I mean, how do you do both at the same time, answer the question fully and yet stay focused on what the lawyer needs to know and, more importantly, on what the judge or decision maker needs to hear? There's kind of a tension there, isn't there?
There's a significant tension, and of course, answering the question fully means different things at different stages of your case. The first time you meet with your attorney, that's when you're going to be the least filtered because your attorney needs to understand the entirety of your situation, and there may be details. Again, that goes back to the don't be embarrassed, the tell the truth, all those things. There may be issues that have a legal bearing that you weren't aware of. So we need to have a very, very full discussion at the very beginning of things. But once your attorney has identified X, Y, and Z as the things we need to focus on, and A and B as the things that, while emotionally important to you, are not legally important to this case, when we go to court or go to other stages of this case, we need to keep our focus on X, Y, and Z and make sure that when we answer questions in the courtroom from either your attorney, the other attorney, or the judge, you keep your answers to X, Y, and Z and leave A and B back in your house.
I think the next point you had was asking questions.
Absolutely, because one of the things that is very, very difficult for a lot of people to deal with, and it's frustrating for attorneys too, is that often, thankfully not always, but often, the law has nothing to do with what makes sense. It has nothing to do with what's fair, and it has nothing to do with what you think things should be. Now, luckily, that's not all the time. That's not even most of the time, but it is the case. So sometimes your attorney will say, this is the way things are, and this is why we need to do this. And if you're not listening carefully and then asking questions about it, you may not understand why that is. And so you need to, anytime your attorney says, well, let's just do this, 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 and this, it may seem like that makes no sense to you in the way you want things to be. And there's a reason why your attorney has said that, but if you don't understand that, your attorney has not communicated effectively to you, and then you need to ask questions so that you can understand things, so that you can continue to help effectively in your case.
Okay, good point. Now, the next point you made was do your homework. What kind of homework assignments would a lawyer give a client, and why is that so important?
Sometimes your attorney is trying to build some evidence for a case. For example, if you're in a child custody dispute, your attorney may ask you to start keeping a journal so that there's a record of what you're doing with your child, how much time you're spending with your child, how much time your child's other parent spends or doesn't spend, who's late, who's early, and who is following either an interim court order or other things. So if your attorney says keep a journal, that's for perhaps evidentiary purposes. If your attorney says, okay, I need for you to get this document and that document or apply for this service or that service, these may be ways to diffuse issues going down the road. For example, there may be a dispute in a medical debt where there's a program where if you have applied for financial assistance, the lawsuit against you will actually go away if you're granted that assistance. So if your attorney says you need to apply for this assistance, you need to do it because that'll make everything end if you're granted. But if you don't do it, then you could get a judgment against you for tens of thousands of dollars.
So it sounds like the message here is don't expect the lawyer to do everything. Act like you're part of a team.
You have to be part of the team because there are some things that your attorney cannot do for you. You must do for yourself.
Now, the next point you mentioned was to look ahead. What are you talking about there?
You need to look ahead and think about both how the things you're doing today will affect your legal dispute tomorrow, but you also need to understand where it is that you want to come out, because you may not have a versus B, the result is either A wins or B wins. You may have sort of a progressive thing. This might happen more often in family law, but you need to know where you want to be at the end of things, and you need to keep looking ahead so that you can help bring yourself there.
How should the client work with the lawyer to get a realistic chance of settling the case in a manner that the client's going to be reasonably satisfied with?
You need to be able to communicate clearly to your attorney what things are most important to you and why, and what things are not so important, so that your attorney can, when negotiating for a settlement for you, can come up with something that best serves your needs. For example, in a child custody situation, if everyone in your family has had Thanksgiving together for generations, and you sometimes get together for Christmas and sometimes you don't, then it's going to be crucially important in your situation that Thanksgiving is spent with your family, and it might not be so important whether or not Christmas is. And maybe alternating Christmases is okay, but you need Thanksgiving with your family. And if that tradition and that priority is not communicated to your attorney, then your attorney cannot work with that. And being realistic is that you're not going to be able to have every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, every spring break. Your child's other parent has an interest, and your child has a health interest, a mental health interest, in having a good relationship with the other parent as well.
Thank you, Palma. We have been speaking with Palma Pastelnik at the Charlottesville Office of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society about how to work well with your lawyer. Thank you so much for being on the program, Palma.
Thank you, Marty.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, walking on the freedom land.
This week's top three tips are about change of venue. The first tip is that you should be sued only in one of three different places: the city or county where you now live, where the transaction arose, or where you agreed in writing you could be sued. The second tip is that you can be sued anywhere in Virginia, even if you don't live there and had no dealings there. If this happens, you should ask the court to transfer the lawsuit. Do this even if you agree with the lawsuit. If judgment granted far away, any legal action to collect the judgment also would be far away. The third tip is that to transfer a lawsuit, you should write a letter to the court. Put the court's name and address, your name and address, the name of your case, your case number, and your hearing date in your letter.
and tell the court you object to venue. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. At least one out of every three child custody or visitation orders gets changed after it is issued. Join us next week when private attorney Lynn Robinson explains what judges and lawyers look for in deciding to award, change, or not change child custody and visitation. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.